Hi guys. Hi. Welcome to today's live cast. I appreciate you all being here talking about freedom and how we can get there with the struggles that we deal with daily being in recovery from something, right? So I was going to wait a few minutes and wait for a couple more people to jump on here, but it looks like there's quite a few of you here. So let's just jump into it, shall we? I'm going to try and keep it short and simple, you guys, to not take up too much of your day, but I appreciate everybody being here. And with that, we are going to discuss freedom. So what does freedom mean to you? So when I think of freedom, I think of serenity. That is true freedom for me when I have peace. My sponsor always talks to me about my serenity bubble and not breaking the serenity bubble, not allowing anybody to penetrate my serenity bubble. And to me, that is the ultimate freedom. If I have serenity in my life, I can do anything I want. And that is freedom. Now, let's look at things that cause, say, you to feel imprisoned. And addiction is no doubt one of the top things that makes you feel imprisoned. It causes guilt, it causes shame, it causes fear, insecurity, self-loathing, self-depreciation, and a whole slew of horrible, awful feelings. Now, some of you that are here may say, well, yeah, but I don't really have an addiction, or I don't think I have an addiction. But if you're here, I think that you're going to find any information I give valuable to the idea of freedom and recovery, because we're all recovering from something, right? And in looking at this, one of the things that we have to look at, and my first question that I always like to ask myself is, do I need to look at what I'm doing? Why am I doing it, right? So like, I drink because is a great question to ask yourself. Or I eat because. Why are you overeating? Why are you overconsuming alcohol? Why are you, why are you doing it? Is it because you're out with friends and you're enjoying a lovely meal? Or is it because you're out with friends and having a celebratory evening of cocktails? Or are you drinking and eating alone and then feeling ashamed about it? Because the truth is, if you have had one night where you have done either eaten too much and the next day you feel bad about yourself and you feel shame and guilt around it, or drink too much and the next day you feel shame or guilt about it. And it's a vicious cycle for both of these compulsions, I'll say. But that's the time to address all this. So I drink because, I eat because. Why do we do those things, right? Next, we're going to look at, when I look in the mirror, I think, what do you truly think about yourself? When, particularly after you analyze why you're drinking or eating, right? What do you think about yourself? Are you happy looking in the mirror? Can you look yourself in the eye? Because I can tell you that that is something that I used to not be able to do. I used to not be able to look myself in the eye in the mirror. I would put my makeup on and avoid looking at myself while I even put eyeliner on. I couldn't stand the sight of myself. That is how ashamed I was of me. So what do you think when you look at yourself? And yeah, you guys can be jotting notes. That's fine. How would a different drinking life, eating life, how would a different relationship with drinking or eating benefit me? You know, how would it benefit you? Would you be able to wake up and maybe do some movement? Would you wake up and not feel sick or like crap? Or run down because of all sugar consumption or overconsumption of anything, you know, what would it benefit you? Would you be able to build more lasting, meaningful relationships? Would you be able to connect more with the people that you care the most about? And hell, connect with yourself more. You know, I think that it is so, the power of asking yourself questions, right, and coming to conclusions on your own is unmeasurable, because when you come to these conclusions, when you ask yourself and get curious about your own behavior, you can spark a lot of change from that. Really, you can. So I want to look at too, are you maybe not being truthful with people in your life? That's something to look at. You know, we're only as sick as our secrets. And I used to be really sick, really sick. I did a lot of things to protect my alcohol and the ism, but to be able to continue to drink the way that I was drinking, I did a lot of things to protect that, lying and things that I did not feel good about. And I kept, it all a secret, and that just perpetuated this vicious cycle of shame, guilt, lie, shame, guilt, lie, shame, guilt, lie, guilt, 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 right? So I never really fully understood the power of your secrets that they hold over you. Keeping secrets, what it does to you. It's insidious by nature. It really poisons you. And the best part is you always think you're protecting yourself. But most of the time, we're lying and we're keeping secrets so that we can keep doing what we want and get the outcome that we want, right? Look at little kids. My daughter, she could do something like, let's say she drew on the floor with a Sharpie, which has happened. And I say, hey, Paige, who drew on the floor with a Sharpie? She can literally be holding the Sharpie and tell me, well, I didn't, not me. Well, it was the cat grabbed it, knocked it off, and it drew on the floor, and she's holding the marker, right? Like that is when they want to keep doing something and avoid getting in trouble and avoid having the unpleasant experience of having to stop doing what you're doing, right? So I just want to say, you know, it becomes really hard for you when you start the lying cycle and the hiding cycle. It's just, I hate to see people still stuck in that. It breaks my heart because I have fully been there. I can even use it with eating. I remember when I was a kid and who ate this or who ate that? Not me. No, I didn't. I didn't touch it. I didn't touch it, you know? And to me, food issues and eating issues and drinking issues are so similar. They are so almost intertwined with the emotion and trying to numb out the emotion and stuff down the feelings, right? Quite literally with both of those, food and alcohol. So looking at we're only as sick as our secrets, the next question I have for all of you is it too much to think of never having a drink again? Does that instantly, or never having a binge eat again, does that thought immediately like send you spiraling? Something to think about, right? Does it send you spiraling, or does it seem doable to you? Because if it sends you spiraling, I don't think that you're alone. Because when we think of never eating another piece of cake or never having another cocktail, like, those things, those thoughts are very loaded thoughts that we put on ourselves, because when we put things in the huge objective, right, from a forever place, like an infinite, never, ever, 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 ever going to do that again, we instantly feel the need to sort of rebel against that and to take back our freedom and do what we want to do. So it's okay if you feel overwhelmed by that thought. So maybe we don't look at the goal of abstaining from alcohol or not binge eating on junk food. Maybe we don't look at the goal from a forever place, right? Maybe we look at the goal from a place of today, right? Today. Today I choose to. Today I choose to not drink. Today I choose to not drink. See how you can say it more positively? Or today I choose to not eat sugar. Or today I get to eat healthy, vibrant foods and eliminate processed sugary snacks that make me feel like crap, right? Today I won't. See, there's freedom in the power of the 24-hour days. The 12 steps, the creators of AA, they knew what they were doing with these 12 steps. There is so much power in living in today, not going beyond today, not going into the past, but these 24 hours that we are sitting in right now, the 24 hours that we're sitting in, living right there and thinking of, I don't have to drink today. I don't have to eat like shit today. I don't have to berate myself today. I don't have to feel guilty today. I don't have to do anything today. I don't have to overload myself today. I don't have to ... right? It's really important when you are going into habit change, especially changing habits such as drinking and eating, completely recreating your relationship with those two things. It's very important to stay in today, because the truth is, and Corinne Crabtree always says, you know, facts, look at facts. There's thoughts and then there's feelings and then there's the facts. You can think things and then you put emphasis on certain facts or certain things in the statement that you make. And that is where the emotions come into it. So thinking like, you know, I'm never drinking ever again can sound really overwhelming. And then you can say, but I don't want to do that. I just want to sort of reevaluate my relationship with alcohol. I want to maybe just quit drinking for like 30 days and see how I feel, like do this cleanse and see how it goes. And then you start thinking, well, God, you know, but I've got that party and this wedding and how am I going to have fun and who's going to do that? So that's when your feelings get put into that thought process. The fact is you don't want to drink for 30 days, right? The fact is you were reevaluating your relationship with alcohol. Stick to the facts and try and discern where your emotions are being, you know, highlighted in your thought process, as opposed to, I'm not going to eat that today because it makes me feel like shit. some food for thought at looking for like a goal, a long-term goal. How are we going to create habit change? Because habit change is hard, you guys. It is hard. Why do you think there are so many books and studies on habit change? We are creatures of habit. Routine, repeat. That is how our brain thrives. So when you throw a wrench in it and try and change that, it's like, meh, 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 mayday, 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 not happening. Instantly chuck it in the fuck it bucket and you're drinking a fifth or you're eating an entire gallon of ice cream or whatever it is. Important to stay in today when you're looking for the freedom that comes from your choices. So you can do a lot of things for habit change, but the thing that I like to focus on for everybody is it's your choice. This is your choice, and your choice ultimately only affects you. Sure, it can sprinkle into our families if you have kids and a husband or, you know, your parents and, you know, other family, extended family, but really your choices affect you the most. I mean, if I choose not to eat sugar this week, that's really not going to affect anybody in my family, right? Unless, of course, I'm eating sugar and then I'm fatigued and I'm bitchy when I'm wanting more sugar. And it's the whole roller coaster of the sugar situation, which clearly I struggle with all the time. Then there's the alcohol when you look at the choice to not drink alcohol. Now, I want to say that that really only affects you, but it depends on how progressed your problem is, because it can have an effect on the family or the people who you live with, right? That can affect them if you're not conscious, or if you're throwing up, or, you know, all of the things that come with drinking, emotions riding high, anxiety, panic, all of the stuff. So definitely worth looking at things from the power of choice. I choose to. It's just like when you have a slip up with any of these things, with a diet, with a workout routine, with trying to choose sobriety in your life. When you have a slip up, instead of sitting there and berating yourself and feeling like shit for the next week on the shame train, it's much easier to look in the mirror and say, I chose to do that. I made that choice. It was a choice. Yes, it was a choice. And I made it. And I feel badly about the choice I made. But you know what? I can't go back and undo it. So what am I going to choose today to move forward? And that is where I find the most power when you're attempting to quit drinking or to change your diet or switch up your workout routine, you know, is looking at things from the power of choice, because you do have the choice to make decisions for yourself. Nobody's putting a gun to your head and telling you to chug a lug a bottle of wine, right? Right? Exactly. So I'm looking at the chat box here. Uh-huh. No, that's right. Nobody is. It's just like nobody's making you go to the fridge at midnight when you maybe are like not able to sleep and you're thinking like, I'm semi-hungry. I'm not semi-hungry. Oh, maybe I should eat something so that I can get some sleep, right? Like, no, you make the choice. I'm going to get out of bed and go to the fridge and then feel like shit about myself. But maybe you're not even thinking about the repercussions of it. The choice is actually, I'm going to get up and go to the fridge and eat right now, or I'm going to drink the cup of water that's next to my bed and I'm going to try and go to sleep again. What do you choose? Power of choice. So I want to touch on also here while I'm talking about this is when you are not being honest. Let's say, so here's what I'm talking about. So let's say that you make the choice to quit drinking, or you make the choice to go on a healthy diet, right? And you tell people, okay, now that is scary because you've just made your goal, your desire, public knowledge, and people can ask you how it's going with said goal, right? So you start to maybe tell a few white lies. Oh, it's going great. I'm feeling really good. I'm energized. I'm this, I'm that. Maybe you snuck in like a half a glass of wine. Maybe you had one piece of pizza, you know, whatever it is. But these little white lies that sort of snowball out of control very fast. And soon you're right back where you started, feeling like crap, feeling like shit, and on the shame train going into hate town. It's really interesting when people say they want to change, and then there's the disconnect between the saying and the doing. People I've sponsored, people that I coach, you know, the number one thing I tell them, and it's because I had to learn the hard way. I don't listen hardly ever to what people tell me. I really don't. I look at their actions. I look at the actions. What are you doing? Okay, so you said you're going to do this. Do you show up for it? Do you follow through with what you said you would do? I look at the actions, and that is sort of how I judge. I don't want to say judge, but that is how I learn to trust people, is through their actions, not through their words. Because people can say anything, and people do say a lot of dumb stuff to make you feel confident and comfortable and content with whatever it is you guys are discussing, and they're full blown not doing what they say that they're doing. Can you tell I've been burned before? So what I always find so interesting when you talk about slip ups or full blown, I'm chucking this whole evaluating my relationship with drinking, or trying to get sober, or getting rid of processed foods, or choosing to eat healthier. When you say F it and you start just going back to old patterns and old habits, and then people are like, oh, it's true. Oh, it's great. I'm super busy. I'm so busy. I'm sorry I didn't get back to you last night because you were shit faced, passed out, or oh, I'm so busy. I had, you know, my kid had this, and then I had the dog to take care of, and then my mom needed this, and then, you know, before I knew it, it was like midnight, and I didn't want to call you that late. When you start utilizing excuses a lot for why your behavior is sort of tapering backwards or shifting, it's interesting that people who are the ones doing, making the excuses, think that people like don't see through their bullshit right away, right? Like, how many of you, and I'm being serious because I am not, you know, I am not a saint. I'm totally have done this before. I still do it sometimes with my sponsor and things. So like, if you're ever like backpedaling or you're sliding backwards and you don't want people to know, you just avoid, right? I mean, that's what I do. I just don't answer. I just don't deal with it for a minute. Ultimately, I'm always able to get my head out of my ass and to do the next right thing. But, you know, it's just so funny that when you have people who are holding you accountable for what you say you want to do, right? When you start to ghost them, when you start to cancel plans with people, when your problem, addiction, compulsion, whatever the word you choose to use, when that becomes more important to you than the relationships, and you're canceling out on all of that stuff, like the life stuff for the substances, you aren't fooling anybody. Let me put it that way. One of the number one things that stands out to me from when I got sober 9.5 years ago was when I told people, it took all of this courage and all of the guts in the world to tell the people closest to me that I was getting sober because I believed myself to be an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic. And 96% of the people I told were like, oh yeah, I knew that. No, I'm glad you're getting help. You know, I'm glad you're doing something about it. Yeah, I knew that. So all of this stuff that I thought that I was hiding so well, I was not doing a good job of at all. So the people that you are asking to be involved in your goals know when you're lying. They know that you're lying. So the only person that you're really bullshitting is yourself. Prime example, if you've ever done like a workout program or a diet and you have like a coach or accountability partner, whatever it may be, right? when you start out strong, and after, I don't know, a couple of days, couple of weeks, maybe a month, maybe a couple of months, you start to like disappear and drop off and not answer, not respond, even slowly, like that person knows you're just not into it. You're not doing it anymore. Like they're fully aware and they'll send you nudges like, "Hey girl, what's up? How's it going? How are you doing with your program? Or how are you doing with, you know, your new workout? Or how's it going with your measurements or your weigh-ins?" Like all of those things. And when you don't respond, or when you're like, "Oh yeah, great, great. Sorry, I've just been so busy." You're not too busy to send a text message. You're not too busy to maybe make a 5-minute phone call if it's a priority to you, right? All depends on what your priority is. But don't think for 1 second, okay, all of you sitting here, that one, you're not hurting the other people by using or by your eating or by your actions, okay? Recovery is a personal choice. It's a choice for you. So the only person that you hurt in the scenarios in which I'm talking about is you. You're the only one you hurt. Sure. Do people care about you? Yes, absolutely. Do people want what's best for you? Debatable. Most, you have a close sum of people who want what's best for you. I think there's other people out there who probably would like you to be swimming in misery town with them, but they want what's best for you. But at the end of the day, when you fuck up, when you drink, when you choose to eat an entire cheesecake, you're only hurting you. It took me so long to recognize that, like, I was drinking at things, right? Like, I'd be pissed off at my ex-husband and I would drink at him as if he was going to be affected by it. It's like drinking the poison and trying to kill someone else and drinking the poison, right? I was only hurting me. It didn't hurt anyone else that I was drinking, maybe my daughter, you know? But it didn't hurt anybody. It was hurting me. And Lord knows I am my own worst enemy if I allow myself to be. I'm grateful that today I live in a place where I choose. See, there's that word again. I choose to always do the next right thing. I choose to live in a space where I hold myself accountable for my actions. And when I have done something wrong, I promptly admit it. Why? Because if I don't, I start to keep little secrets. I tell little white lies and nobody believes my bullshit better than me. And when you're talking about the disease of addiction, you are talking about something that is mind-blowingly baffling. I mean, it will make your head spin trying to assess people's addictions or the things that people have done in order to get a drink or a fix, drugs or whatever. Like, it is the most baffling thing because I can lie to myself and believe it. And I can justify just about anything that I'm doing in my own mind and why I'm doing it. So, little white lies, keeping secrets, puts you on the path to being in active addiction again. I would hope that you're committed enough to what you're doing today to make the choice to stick it out and to reach out to people and to call people or email people or instant message people, or you have a support network of people around you that you can call and say, like, "I'm really struggling. I want to eat this," or "I want to drink," and they will help you through that urge. Because a lot of the times, if you just ride the urge for sometimes as little as 5 or 10 minutes, it will pass. That uncomfortable feeling, it will pass. But if you choose to make a choice that's going to hurt you, try to own it. Make the choice to own it. "Hey, this happened yesterday and I'm not proud of it, but I'm telling you because I want to be transparent with you. And it helps me on my path to recovering from the things that I need to recover from. Make sense? Any questions? You can put them in the chat box if you want. Only because I can't figure out how to unmute. You're all on like the auto mute mode. So let me see, what does that say? What if you're afraid to tell people because you've been trying to get sober for years and you don't want to disappoint? Okay, this is a big thing. What if you're lying to people because you've been trying to get sober for years or for what feels like forever and you don't want to disappoint other people? Here's the thing. You're not going to disappoint other people as much as you think that you are. Sure, they might be disappointed and they might feel badly for you and have some empathy for you. But you really, it's going to be less disappointing the sooner you come clean with it. For anybody that you're trying to avoid telling that to, okay? It's going to become 10 times less disappointing when you say, I didn't want to disappoint you. Here's what's happened. Can we move forward from it? Can you help me get back on the, you know, the right path or make the right choice? Or can you give me some guidance on maybe some prompts or things to journal? And I'm talking specifically about accountability partners right now. Or, you know, sure, it can be fearful. You can be terrified to tell people. But see, there's freedom. There's that word again. There's freedom in the truth. There's freedom in just mouth vomiting it out. Like word salad, get it out. I did this, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, it's like a weight is lifted off of you. So when you're lying, when you're keeping secrets, you're really hurting yourself in this facade that you're trying to protect other people from, you know, being upset with you or losing other people. And you might lose people. Sure. It's not something that's, you know, not going to happen. But I think that living open and saying I made a mistake and asking for forgiveness and then being a walking amends by doing the next right thing is the way to free yourself from all of it and to help yourself step into real recovery. It's okay to have a setback. It's okay if you choose to relapse. It's okay if you choose to, you know, to go off a diet for a month or whatever. But like, the thing is, look at why you're doing it. And then to get back on to, or get back into working actively to recover from it. Okay, yeah. So if you're dealing with both alcohol and food, which no surprise there, they go hand in hand. They really are from the same kind of beast, I guess. You can deal with one or the other, but if you're talking about binge eating and binge drinking, or you're drinking, if you're not drinking, you're eating, if you're eating, you're not drinking. If you're like substituting one for the other, is that what you're talking about? Okay. So maybe getting a little extra help. Maybe you need a recovery group in person in your city, or maybe you need, I don't know if you've thought about therapy, if you're embarrassed, if the thought of therapy makes you nervous, maybe BetterHelp or online platform therapy, or, definitely seek out, a coach or somebody who can help you get to the bottom of why you're doing what you're doing and then help you free yourself from utilizing one in place of the other, because you're still not getting better. You're just moving it into a different area, right? And there's actually a lot of people with eating disorders on the other spectrum too, that don't, the anorexia, that use alcohol. So it's flip-flopped. It works either way. But the food and the alcohol correlation, there's a lot of similarity, and a lot of people use it in place of one or the other. So yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, I would go ahead and reach out to me. I'll put my email, I'll send it to all of you when we're done. I'll get, you know, you should already have it, but I'll get it to you just in case you don't. And I'm going to put my, I'll put it right here in the chat box right now. Okay. So listen, thanks guys for being here today. I hope that all of you feel a little bit better and feel a little bit more confident in your choices today. And remember that freedom comes from within. It is not an external factor. It's from inside of you. And if you want true freedom, you need to seek doing the next right thing and being honest about what it is that you're doing. That, to me, that's the easiest way to keep my serenity. And a couple other things that I would spend 6 hours talking about, but I think we're good today, right? I appreciate you all. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed today. Bye, guys.